that longer van up there.
So having you up here with me and helping me, man. Take your Bible, Titus chapter 3. I want to talk today about salvation. Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. The Bible says in verse 5 there, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That song he just sang, how true, the best I can do, you know. But according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Father, I ask you today that you speak to our hearts, Lord. We would put things out of our mind that we do not need to be thinking of, but we would think about the Word of God. We think about salvation and that you did it all. And Lord, it is expected for us to accept you as our Savior. You made it very clear and plain to us. But oh, how Satan has tried so many times, try to ruin it and try to make salvation so difficult and so hard. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, and may those who have not the assurance of their salvation today that they will get it. In Jesus' name, amen. History has shown that salvation has been and is today one of the most misunderstood subjects of all times. I'm amazed many times I preach funerals, and I am amazed at the people that have no idea about salvation, have no idea about how that they can get saved. God made it so simple. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him. That's it. Believe. Believe me. Trust or have faith. Believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is very simple. I heard a man talk about the simplicity of salvation. Though it's profound, it's very simple. It's so simple that a little child can understand it. It's so simple for someone that has problems with thought. It's so simple that all they have is... Listen, the man hanging on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou goest into paradise. And Jesus said, today thou be in paradise. How about that? It's very simple. I hear a lot of people saying, well, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to repent of this, and you got to repent of this, and repent of this, and repent of this, you got to do this, you got to do this. No, the Bible said believe. Trust in him. Ask God to forgive your sins. That's repent. Lord, forgive me my sins. I've sinned. And, Lord, I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Hey, that's pretty simple. That's simple so we can have vacation Bible school. Little boys and little girls can come and get just saved. Amen. It's simple so when you go to the rest homes and the retirement centers and folks there that have not heard it before, that you can tell them and they simply believe it. Amen. So, we have found that Satan has tried real hard to muddy the stream, amen, so that we cannot find it. On one hand, salvation has been bad-mouthed, it's been defamed, it's been smeared, it's been criticized, slandered since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve violated it. Cain slew Abel over it, and the people of the flood disregarded it. Satan and his imps of hell have engaged to make salvation as difficult as it can be. They delight to make salvation the most difficult plan of all ages by blinding the eyes of man and giving him some kind of fake way, some kind of that has no saving grace at all. Aren't you amazed at how so many are willing to try anything? I mean, anything that seems like certainly to us is illegitimate to salve their conscience, some way that they can find their way, you know. And Jesus said, believe, have faith, trust in me. To man there's a question of salvation, and to them it has a dark side, a mysterious, puzzling side to it. Yet Jesus said that salvation was as simple as childlike faith. All a man has to do is believe like a little child. Children are pretty open about things. And they accept things. Paul said, just call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. In John's Gospel, he reminds us that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. In Numbers chapter 23 or chapter 32, I can't remember what chapter it is, but it talks about that the children of Israel were griping and complaining about the food that God was giving them, manna, and God sent a great plague, and the plague of fiery serpents, and the serpents came and bit them. And Moses was crying out to God. God says, make a serpent, a bronze serpent, hang it on a pole, and hold it up, and anybody that looks will live. And pretty simple, isn't it? I don't know about you, but if I get bit by a snake, I'd certainly want something, amen. First of all, I don't want to be around snakes, amen. But anyway, anybody that has snakes, something wrong with your brain, amen. You ought to read the Bible. It says the old serpent talks about the devil. So if you got a snake in your house, get rid of it. I ain't coming to see you. In John's Gospel, he reminds us to look and live. He said, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that simple? Luke said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby he must be saved. Jesus said, when he was talking to Nicodemus, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no other salvation in another person or anything except through Jesus Christ. That's Bible. That's Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple as that. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus said. This is a long illustration. I hope you bear with it. I found this a couple weeks ago and when I started preaching on the doctrine of salvation. And I thought, this is some illustration that I must share with people. There is a certain professor of religion named Dr. Christensen, a studious man who taught at a small college in western United States. Dr. Christensen taught a required survey course in Christianity at this particular institution. Every student was required to take the course in his or her freshman year, regardless of their major. I mean, it was a have-to, and some of you guys have been in college know that some of those have-to courses, the reason they're have-to is because they're pretty boring, amen. But you have to. You ain't going to graduate unless you do it. I remember that class. I remember that class. Although Dr. Christensen tried real hard to communicate the essence of the gospel in his class, he found that most of his students looked upon his course as nothing but a drudgery and a necessity. Despite his best efforts, most students refused to take Christianity seriously. At a Christian school, can you get that? This year, Dr. Christensen had a special student named Steve. Steve was only a freshman. And he was studying with intent going to the seminary. He wanted to go to seminary in the ministry. Steve was very popular. He was well-liked, and he had an imposing physical stature. He was just a great big guy. And he now is the starting center of the school's football, college football team, even a freshman, and best student in his class. One day, Dr. Christensen asked Steve to stay after class so he could talk to him. He said, hey, Steve, how many push-ups can you do? And Steve says, well, every night I try to do 200 before I go to bed. Dr. Christensen says, boy, that's kind of amazing. He said, let me ask you something. You think you can do 300? And Steve replied, I don't know. I've never done 300 at a time. Well, do you think you could do 300? Well, I suppose I could put my mind to it. He said, I want you to do this. He says, I have a class project in mind, and I need you to do 300 push-ups in sets of 10 for this work. Can you do it? I need you to tell me if you can do it, he said. And Steve said, well, I think I can, yeah. I can do it. So Dr. Christian said, good, I need you to do this on Friday, and let me explain what I have in mind. Friday came, and Steve came to the class early and sat in front of the room. When the class started, the professor pulled out a great big box of donuts. No, they weren't just the normal kind of donuts. They were extra fancy, big kind, with cream and center and frosting swirled. Everyone was excited because it was Friday, last day of school, and they were going to get donuts for their party. Dr. Christian went to the first girl in her old class, and the bell rang, and she said, Cynthia, do you want one of these donuts? And Cynthia said, yes, Dr. Christian. Then he turned to Steve and asked, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups for Cynthia so she can have a donut? So he got down and pumped out 10 push-ups. Then Steve got back in his chair. Dr. Christian put a donut on Cynthia's desk. And Dr. Christian went to Joe, the next person in the row, and he said, Joe, do you want a donut? He said, yes, sir, Mr. Christian. And so Steve, he said, you need to do 10 push-ups so that Joe can have a donut. Steve did 10 push-ups. Joe got the donut. So it went on. Down the first aisle, Steve did 10 push-ups for every person that was in that class that didn't have the donut in that row. Walking down the second aisle, Dr. Christian came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team. He was good condition as Steve. He was very popular and never lacking in female companionship. When the professor asked Scott, do you want a donut? Scott replied, well, can I do the push-ups myself? And Dr. Christian said, no, Steve has to do them. Then Scott said, well, I don't want one. Dr. Christensen shrugged and then turned to Steve and says, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut he doesn't want? With perfect obedience, Steve started to do the 10 push-ups. Scott said, hey, I said I don't want one. And Dr. Christian said, look, this is my classroom. This is my class. These are my desk. And these are my donuts. Just leave it on your desk if you don't want it. And he put the donut on Scott's desk. Now, by this time, Steve had begun to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor because it was too hard for him to get up and get out of his seat. You could start to see the little perspiration coming on his brow. Dr. Christian started down the third row. Now the students were beginning to get a little angry. Dr. Christian asked, Jenny, do you want a donut? And sternly, Jenny said, no. Fine. Dr. Christian asked Steve, says, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups for Jenny so she can have a donut that she doesn't want? Steve did 10. Jenny got a donut. By now, the growing sense of uneasiness filled the class. The students were beginning to say no, and there were all these uneaten donuts on the desk. Steve also had to put on a little more effort in these push-ups he'd done for each donut. There began to be a small pool of sweat on the floor beneath his face. His arms and brow were beginning to get red because of the physical effort involved. Dr. Christensen asked Robert, who was the most vocal unbeliever in the class, to watch Steve do each push-up, make sure that he did the full 10 push-up to set because he couldn't bear to watch all of Steve's work for all those uneaten donuts. He sent Robert over there by Steve, and so Robert could count the sets and watch Steve closely. Dr. Christian started down the fourth row. During this class, however, some students from another class had wandered in, sat down in the back of the step by the radiator, and ran down the side of the room. When the professor realized that, he did a quick count and realized there were 34 students in the room, and he started to worry if Steve was able to make it. Dr. Christian went to the next person, and the next person, and the next person, and the next person. Near the end of the row, Steve was really having a rough time. He was taking a lot more time to complete each set. Steve asked Dr. Christensen, "Do I have to put my nose on the ground every time?" Dr. Christensen thought for a moment, "Well, they're your push-ups. You can change it now. Are you in charge now? You can do any way you want," Dr. Christensen went on. A few minutes later, Jason, a recent transfer student, came into the room and was about to come in when all the students yelled, "No, don't come in, stay out." And Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and said, "No, let him come in, Dr. Christensen. You realize that if Jason comes in, you'll have to do 10 more push-ups." And Steve said, "Yes, let him in. Give him a donut, Dr. Christensen." So Dr. Christensen said, "Okay, Steve, and I'll let you get Jason out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut?" And Jason, new in the classroom, said, "Yeah, give me one." "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups for Jason so he can have a donut?" Steve then did 10 more push-ups very slowly, great effort. Jason, bewildered, was handed the donut and sat down. Dr. Christensen finished the fourth row, and then started on those visitors seated on the heater. Steve's arms were now shaking for every push-up and struggled to lift himself against the force of gravity. By this time, the sweat was profusely dropping off his face, and there was no sound except the heavy breathing, and there was not a dry eye in the room. The very last two students in the room were two young girls. They were cheerleaders, very popular. And Dr. Christensen went to Linda, and second to last, and asked, "Linda, do you want a donut?" And Linda said, very sadly, "No, thank you." Professor Christian quickly asked Steve, "Would you do 10 pushups for Linda? Can have a donut that she doesn't want?" Grunting from his effort, Steve did 10 more slow push-ups for Linda. Then Dr. Christian turned to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" And Susan, with tears flowing down her eyes, began to cry. Said Dr. Christensen, "Why can't I help him?" Dr. Christensen, with tears in his own eyes, said, "No, Steve has to do it alone. I have given him a task, and he is in charge of seeing that everyone has the opportunity to have a donut, whether they like it or not, or they want it or not. When I decided to have this party last day of class, I looked at my grade book," Dr. Christensen said. "Steve here is the only student who had perfect grade, 4 points. Everyone else failed a test or skipped a class or offered me inferior work. Steve told me that in football practice, when a player messed up, he had to do push-ups. I told Steve that none of you could come to my party unless he paid the price by doing the push-ups for you. He and I made a deal for your sake. Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Susan can have a donut?" As Steve slowly finished the last push-up, with the understanding that he had accomplished all that was required, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath, and he fell to the floor. Dr. Christensen turned to the room and said, "As so it was that our Lord Savior Jesus Christ hung on the cross, pled to the Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, with the understanding that he had done everything that was required, and he yielded up his life." And like some of those in the room, many leave the gift on the desk uneaten. Two students helped Steve off the floor into a seat, physically exhausted, but wearing a thin smile. "Well done, my good and faithful servant," said the professor. "Not all sermons are preached with words." Turning to the class, the professor said, "My wish is that you might understand and fully comprehend all the riches and the grace and mercy that has been given to you through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, for the whole church, now and forever. Whether or not you choose to accept the gift he has given you, the price has been paid. Wouldn't you be foolish and ungrateful to leave it lying on your desk? I know a lot of people, I'm going to eat it. Well, I'm going to do it. There's a song that's, only Jesus can satisfy my soul. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world over, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you've found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have no Christ within, your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when death shall call you. Riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. And only He can change your heart to make you whole. He'll give you peace you've never known. Love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I wonder if you're in that classroom, what that would do to your heart. And it's not even a speck of what Jesus Christ did for us. And He asks you, He says, come on. I make it possible for everyone to get saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him. If you're here today, and that has not been your opportunity yet to receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I beg you today. I beg you from the Heavenly Father, who gave His only begotten Son for you, do you have eternal life forever and ever? Some of you may have been in church for a long time. Some of you have been maybe faking it. Some of you have just kind of walking through it. But I'm telling you, it is true. I remember the day when I was 14 years old, Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan, sitting clear in the back of a room of over 2,000 high school students. And I heard an old preacher tell me the old, old story. I don't know how I missed it. I'd gone to church I don't ever remember missing church when I was a little boy. You know, years ago we used to have Sunday school pins, and I don't know how many years of perfect attendance I had for Sunday school. But you know what? I missed it. My pastors brought in some of the finest preachers of all America, some of the finest missionaries from all over the world, and they told the story over and over again, you must be born again. Somehow, for 14 years, this little old farm boy had missed it. I missed it. Until that day, where that preacher says, you know, your daddy may be a deacon, and your mama may be a Sunday school teacher and president of WMS, Women's Missionary Society. Guess what? My dad was a deacon and my mama was a Sunday school teacher. My mama was the head of the WMS. And he said, you've never missed, hardly missed a church service. But he said, I'll tell you, until you come to the point where you personally, by yourself, not because of your daddy, not because of your mama, not because of anybody, grandma or grandpa, but by yourself, you realize that you are a sinner and that you have no hope of heaven except through Jesus Christ. And he said, I urge you right now, right here, at this place, you'd step out of the seat, walk down the aisle, and receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You know what happened? That's okay. We're cool. Satan doesn't want to get you this one. He don't want you to listen to this. Because remember, he's trying to blind us. Just listen to me. We're cool. He says, he pointed right at me.
How does he know me?
Well, when you point like that, man, it's like a shotgun. It's everybody, you know. And he had a long finger. I think his finger about this long. He pointed right at me. Guess what? I was sitting next to my mama. The Sunday school teacher, the president of the WMS. My pastor's right next to me. They thought. Man, I was baptized. Actually, I got wet when I was 8. I know what baptized. Baptism means that he's putting on the uniform. I was baptized when I was 8. And they were sitting next to a boy. If I would have died, I would split hell wide open. Because I had not made a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There had not been a time that I'd looked up to God and said, God, I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. The pastor said, let's all stand. And before that organist, you get set down on that organ. That old boy, that 14-year-old, lost, deacon's son, Sunday school teacher's son, took the first step down that aisle. The church was inclined. It was kind of like a theater. The seats were like this, and then the pulpit was down here. I stepped out of that seat and I started to come. I thought I was going to run that preacher over. I couldn't get hardly stopped. I want to get taken care of. I'll be that way. I want to get it taken care of. I want to be sure if I die today, you go to, hey, if you've been living a lie, I'm telling you what, that's the toughest thing in the world. Boy, that's a tough thing to live a lie. But you know, the Bible says that by their fruits you shall know them. So there's some things in your heart and your life not right. You better get saved. I pray you get saved today. One more time. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, love and joy, and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. I'm going to pray. If you're here today and you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I beg you that you would not let the efforts of Jesus Christ go to waste hanging on that cross for you. Let's pray. Father, I beg you today, Lord, if there's anyone here not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today they would say, this is the day, January 22nd, 2017, I'm receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to put my trust. I'm going to accept by faith that He will save me right here and right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that right here, right now. I'm tired of running. I'm just tired. I just got to do it. I don't want to do it today. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of faking it. I just want to be sure of the... Hey, why don't you come forward? I'll have a man with a man, a woman with a woman. I'll have them show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. What a deal. Hey, if this little old farm boy faked it that long, so could some others. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Are you positive of it? Said, preacher, I'm not. Well, if you won't come forward, let me have a word of prayer with you right now. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, why don't you pray this prayer with me? Why don't you invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior? This is how the prayer goes. I prayed it 14 years ago. It's not the same prayer, but it's giving faith to Jesus Christ. It's repenting of your sins, believing Jesus died on a cross. Here's the prayer. Will you pray it with me? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save my soul right here, right now. And when I die, take me to heaven. If you did that this morning, why don't you just right now again pray another prayer and say, Dear God, thank you for saving my wretched soul. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins that I repent of today. And I just thank you for coming to my heart and being my Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're standing there. You're here today and say, Preacher, I prayed that prayer. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I promise you that. I'm the only one that's looking. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity, all right? If you would like to come forward and have the Word of God showed to you, you just step out right now. Or grab a hold of me and say, Preacher, today I ask Jesus in my heart. The Bible says he confesses me before men. I'll confess him before the Heavenly Father. You just raise your hand. You just confess Jesus before me. Praise God. Praise God for the promise of heaven. There's no greater promise in all the world than going to heaven. You're today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you step out of that seat and let me show you from the Word of God. Hey, it's simple. The simplicity of salvation is incredible. You're today and say, Preacher, I've got saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism since I've been saved. Why don't you come with this? That's down in the water and up out of the water. You're today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, thank you for that wonderful story of Dr. Christensen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a man like Steve who is willing to give himself and to do his best. And Lord, we thank you for you who absolutely did your perfect best so that we could go to heaven someday. Lord, I've never been able to get over it. You saved my soul. God, I pray that you'd help us to be out there telling others about you and giving them an opportunity to go to heaven. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would lead us to those who want you. Lord, now bless this service. Please be with each one. Many that are hurting today and in sorrow today, brokenhearted, please be with them. Be with our country today, God. Mend it, Lord God. Help us to get through this time. But Lord God, we do know that we're looking for you come back. So Lord, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.